وسلم. ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر. The rivalry competition of piling up wealth distracts you from the main cause. You have a main cause in life and you have a secondary cause, and man, when he comes to this world, then the glitter and the glamour that's around him sometimes gets consumed, and when it's consumed then that becomes the goal, and when that becomes the goal, then he wants to compete with each other in piling up wealth and material. So sometimes the whole focus is on to material and how much I can pile up, and sometimes the whole focus is on publicity and what support I've got. So these are the two things that man gets caught up in, and he gets distracted from his main cause. The main cause was to improve the relationship with the one that had brought you and blessed you with all the favors that you have. Whatever you have is from him, you came from him, and you reach up to him. So that was the main concern, that was the main cause. But when the mind is in a turmoil and you don't understand, vision becomes blurred, then the whole goal becomes just accumulating. So therefore Allah Ta'ala warns us, Al-Hakum al-Takasur. So the competition and the rivalry that's natural within us, we have that rivalry within us to accumulate, etc., to look for comfort and ease, that's within us. But this natural tendency, how should it be? How should it be corrected? It's supposed to be corrected in the works of the Akhirat, the works that are lasting, works that are eternal. وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَذَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. People that are anxious and aspire, then these are the things that they need to aspire about. سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. And if you are competing, then these are the things that you need to compete and try and excel each other. The race is on that, not on these things here, that we make our goal. I'm earning 20, I'm earning 30. So the whole goal just goes around figures, and I just want to exceed and go before the next person. And Allah Pak says, this is not the way. However, in accumulating wealth, there's three levels. One is the basic level, you are seeing your needs and requirements. Islam will not condemn this. The second is that you are used to a certain lifestyle and you are sustaining the lifestyle, that also Islam doesn't condemn. Your lifestyle, you're used to this type of a life and you find it difficult otherwise, so to maintain that lifestyle is not haram, not forbidden. But the third is that which is the dangerous one, where it's just about competition and rivalry. He's got this and what have I got? So Islam condemns this. Quran is saying, سَابِقُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ جَنَّةٍ وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. And as for the dunya, when he says مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ, it is just a fool's paradise. A fool, and that which was supposed to be just a sand castle, he considered that to be a, and he worked until he burnt himself. And then it was too late now then to reverse the whole process. But he got so consumed, he made that the goal, he worked for it, he spoke for it, he fought for it, and now it's too late. So therefore Allah Ta'ala warns us that don't make this the goal. Because this can then lead you to a lot of complications, a lot of problems. When that accumulation and the piling up becomes your main goal and main focus. So if you didn't make the target, then you're going to complain. And when you're going to complain, it means then you are not showing thanks and appreciation for the favors Allah Pak has given you. Eating well, sleeping well. So you forgot the aspect of shukr and thanking Allah Ta'ala, showing gratitude for the favors that you're enjoying. So your goal became, what, he's got so much, why have I got this much? So it's always complaining. Allah Pak doesn't like this. He wants you to be thankful, appreciative, and it is nahnu qasamna. It is Allah Ta'ala that distributes His favors, someone more, someone less. That's divine distribution. Who He felt must get more, He gets more. And who He wants to give little less, He'll give. يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ. For someone, He opens it out, and someone, He constrains it. And Allah Ta'ala knows why it is opened out for the one person and constrained it for the next person. So this competition can lead you to problems thereafter. Sometimes you are deprived of making shukr. Sometimes you are boastful about yourself. See, I'm in the top league. There's nobody that can touch me. I'm so high. So you become boastful, and sometimes you begin to despise the person that is lesser privileged than yourself. That I don't want to have anything to do with you. You don't come within my circle. So all the wrongs that go with this type of a mindset that has become the standard in this day. So Allah Pak wants us to be satisfied, show gratitude, not despise, and respect others. That's what Allah Pak wants us. But when we go on to this line, that this becomes a rivalry and a competition, then we lose all these values, and the values of animals we begin to adopt. As an animal, we just want to see that it excels everything. So that real Muslim values are deprived of, and we get into the wrong lane altogether. So, first it is just a mental thing, you know, I need to get more. It's a mental thing. Then you become vocal about the whole thing. Then you want to talk to people about it. You know, I went for Umrah, and I went in the first class, I went in the business class, and this is the hotel that I booked in. Or, you know, I did Qurbani, and my animal was like this, and then I want to send it viral to everybody. So the whole life is about boasting, pride, and attitude. And all this will deprive you of your reward. The actual thing was to show thanks. What is the level of your shukr? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Whose deed, whose shukr is greater? This is what Allah wants to see. And are you moving in reverse? So they say, two people were competing with each other. So I got this, and you got this, and I got this. And they carried on, and they carried on, until both of them reached up to the Qabristan. So the wealthy is telling the poor, see my father's Qabr, got a tombstone, so beautifully decorated, look at the works, look at the plaques over it, it's so beautiful. So the poor person tells him, you lost the point. You know, on the day of Qiyamah, Israfil alayhi salam will sound the trumpet. And when he sounds the trumpet, all will jump off the graves and move towards the Hashar Meydan to go through the immigration hereafter. But me and my father, we don't have that much. So all my father has to do is has to just come out, dust the sand, and he'll pass the immigration right into Jannah. And your father will still be moving the tombstones on the grave. He's still in the process. And then he's got more baggage to carry. So the process will be longer. The custom and the immigration will be more difficult for him. And I don't have anything, my father doesn't have much. So the whole process will be much more easier and simple for us. Aga apne mol se koi bashar nahi. کل کی سامان ہے سو برس کا لیکن کل کی خبر نہیں. Nobody thinks in that line. You have accumulated wealth for 100 years or 200 years, but you don't know what's going to be your position in the next breath, in the next second, what's going to happen, nobody knows. But you accumulate so much of wealth, it's going to continue for one century and two centuries. But isn't that a fool's thinking when you don't even know what's going to happen to you for the next second? So the real thing is that that moment, that eventful moment, that decisive moment, what preparations have we done? So therefore the hadith says, who is the most intelligent person? The most intelligent person, according to the teaching of the hadith, أكثرهم استعداداً للموت, is that person who has made the best preparation for death. It's a thing, it's absolutely certain, I can't avoid it, even if I turn my mind away from it, but it's such a certainty that I can't avoid it. When I can't avoid it, let me be real to myself, let me be realistic, let me understand realities and work towards it, rather than just living in a fool's paradise. Oh, I don't have this, and he has this. Your mind is just going in a circle, and before you know it, the game is up, you have to leave. You can't say now that I still want to remain. It's that moment comes, then every person has to leave. He can't say, no, I just want to be around. He can't say that. He can't challenge Malakul Maut. He can't challenge the system. For Allah Ta'ala is not subject to negotiations. I want to have it like this and not like that. It's not subject to negotiations. It's subject to the command of Allah Ta'ala. He comes and that's the end. Therefore, the hadith says, that man says, Mali, Mali. The simplest translation is in Zulu. The translation will be Maliyam. What does it mean, Maliyam? Whose money? My money. So Mali means Maliyam. My wealth. So the whole fight is about my wealth, my wealth. What's belonging to me? What's my properties? How they're escalating? How they're falling? The whole fight is about that. But then the hadith teaches us how to think correctly, how to restructure and redesign our minds. Hadith is telling us, what belongs to you? What belongs to you? Ma'akalta fa'akhnayta. You enjoyed, right? Went around, ate, etc. So what you have used up, that's what belongs to you. Or what you have worn, ablayta, and then it is worn out after some time. You worn this type of a garment, that type of a kurta, whatever shoes, and it's worn out. And what is left thereafter, that is not yours. It is your wife's and your children, your heirs. So you are more attached to their wealth than your own wealth. So is it making logical sense that you are attached to the next person's wealth rather than being attached to your own wealth? So the hadith is guiding us how to restructure and how to think correctly. They say a person has three friends, you know. Three friends, three sathis. One friend says, I'll do everything for you. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you. But the moment your eyes close, now it's showing you love, or it's embracing you, sitting in your lap, right? But the moment your eyes close, I'm no more your darling. I won't embrace you. I'll hop on to the next person straight away. Die, and I'll hop on. So I got a termination point. So my time with you is the time of pleasure and life. And the moment that life terminates, I will totally forget all the promises I made. I will betray you. I will hop on to the next person and make similar promises to him like I had made promises to you. So that is the first friend. The second friend says, no, you know, I will be with you. As life terminates, I'll still be with you. I'll do the ghusl. I'll do the shrouding and the kafan. I'll accompany you to the Qabristan. I'll lower you down into the grave, cover you up, make dua for you. But then, Hazrat Iraq will bring you a bainik. This is a separation point. I can't be with you any longer. This is the point that I'll have to separate from you. So this is the second friend. And he says, I'll do everything. And I'll do it until you are lowered, then I'll cover you, make dua for you, then I have to separate, I have to move on. I can't continue with you thereafter. Ab ye safar mujhe tanha karni padegi. I was with you, I was accompanying you. Shukriya to you, thank you for all that. But now from this point onwards, the dead also saying, now from this point onwards, I'll have to move alone, nobody's going to accompany you. So that is the second thing. And the third friend says, you know, you kept on despising me. I was downtrodden. I had no significance in your eyes. no respect, no value, and I was an outcast. Now and then when you needed me, you used me, and then when you used me, then you just dumped me, you just abandoned me. So I was the most downtrodden, I was despised, I was thrown out of my life, I was shown no respect and no significance. But me, in spite of your bad treatment, in spite of your despising me, you showed me an attitude, but I'll be with you to the entire duration of your life. At the time that is most crucial, leaving this world, I'll stand with you. The time that you are dead, I'll still stand with you. The time that you are shrouded, I'll be with you. And at the burial, I'll be with you. I'll be there right throughout. And even afterwards, in the onward journey, in the grave, until I see you to Jannat, I'll be with you right through. Right through, I'll be with you. You're dead in the grave, you're all alone, I'll be with you. You are on the day of Qiyamah, you're standing before Allah Ta'ala, I'll stand for you. If anybody wants to come and trouble you, I'll stand. The best of my ability, I will help you. I won't leave you, I won't part with you until I get you into a safe zone. The safest zone, I will get you into Jannat. Until then, I won't. So the first brother is the wealth. The wealth is with you until your eyes are open. And the moment your eyes close, so it goes and embraces the next person, it goes into his lap, and he becomes that second person, that next person's darling. And the second person is the relatives and the friend. They join you and they accompany you right to the Qabristan, they lower you, and thereafter they make dua for you, and thereafter they will say, but your life has to continue, unfortunately, we'll have to part from this point. And the third brother, or the third friend, is his iman and his good deeds. His iman and his good deeds will say, you despised us, you looked down upon us, showed us no respect, I was an outcast, used me only at the time of convenience, your problems, then you used me. But in spite of the bad treatment you gave, I will be with you. I'll remain with you right to the end. I won't depart. I won't abandon you. I won't leave you. I won't betray you. It's the best of my ability. So I ask you, which friend you need to invest in? The first one, the second one, or the last one? Obviously the last one, that is the one that's going to carry you right through. Now, in the qabr, in the loneliness, you're absolutely in isolation. Nobody for you at that time. Not your friend, not your father, not your wife, not your child, nobody. And this one here says, you know, I was looked down upon. You abandoned me. In your business, you didn't think about me. You did what you wanted, right? In your home, you did what you wanted, right? In your private life, you did whatever you wanted. So you just discarded me. You just showed no respect. But I will show you that I'm not a traitor. I will be with you all the time. So that is your iman and your amal. And this is the actual place where we're supposed to be investing. Allah Pakar Rasul.